south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Sometimes I get emails from people that include 1,000 questions. And even if it's just a half dozen questions, in many, perhaps 90% of the cases, I've gone through this subject in depth in a past show, because, you know, I've got what, 970 shows out there now? And they're all free, and you know what they say? You get what you pay for. Of course, as time goes by, I'm always updating what's happening here in Latin America, because things are always changing, at least for our purposes. So by going through past shows and reviewing them, homing in on certain subjects, and you can do that by checking out the Expat File show descriptions that I write up for every show, that at least point out most of the topics covered on that show. I know, wouldn't it be so nice to have a search function? Well, we've tried that a number of times, but just haven't been able to get it together. In other words, a lot of false starts, but no cigar. Where's AI when you need it? Damn. Anyway, to the point of people writing to me, giving me a mega list of topics they want me to hit on. You know, I could do three things. I could refer that person back to the archives, to previous shows where I've hit on the subject in great detail. Number two, I could fire off a quickie, generalized answer covering the subject to some satisfaction, but in no great detail, for better or for worse. However, the best option by far for people who have lots of questions is to set up a one-on-one personal call with me. That way we can suss out your plan B, go through your wish list, and talk for a full hour or half an hour. That way we can get real specific with your particular case. In fact, that's the only way to get real specific with your particular case. For example, just got this email with a bucket list of questions. This one's from Matt. He says, "Hi, Johnny. I have a few questions for you about moving to Latin America. Number one, how do people usually transport their belongings to their new home? Number two, where are some of the better areas to live in Nicaragua or Guatemala?" By the way, just with that question, I could talk for an hour or two. Number three, what's the best way of purchasing property legitimately? Number four, what kind of income can expats expect to make, and should they expect to make their own businesses if they want to survive? Number five, do you have contacts for lawyers or real estate agents? Number six, how hard is it to bring pets to Latin America or things that might be construed as illegal, like guns and ammo? Number seven, do people who want to live on acreage need to still live in a gated community to have a better or more ideal living situation? Number eight, last but not least, Johnny, do you provide Skype meetings or consultations for people? Thanks for your time. Signed, Matt. Well, Matt and you listeners out there, as you can see, all are very good questions that, if I went into detail, would surely take up not one, but a couple of shows. So in Matt's case, I definitely recommend a one-on-one consult, because then we can hone in on all that stuff. Is it hone in or home in? I'm going to have to look that up. It says both are pretty much interchangeable, but to home in is to get closer, like going home. And to hone in is to make something sharper, like honing a blade. You know, it's good to look things up. I don't know about you, but sometimes you could read an entire book or 10 entire books and never have to look up a single word. Then again, if you like technical or science books, you might look up a word every page. Then again, if you're just a plain, lazy lardass, you probably wouldn't look up anything. You probably wouldn't be reading a book either. Too bad most of the world fits into that category. Now, as to not leave Matt high and dry, I'll fire off a couple quick answers to each question. Question one, how do people usually transport their belongings to their new home? The short answer is smart people usually don't bring much down at all. They sell all their stuff up in the States, or most all of it, and just bring some boxes and suitcases down. Because, although once you get here, things can be a bit more expensive, especially if they're imported and you buy them new. On the other hand, you have Latino Craigslist sites like OLX.com. And lots of competing websites, too, where you can get practically anything you left behind very cheap. Now, of course, many people like to bring down personal items of sentimental value, and sometimes boxes full of books. Well, that's going to cost you, because books are heavy. And those shipping companies charge by weight. Of course, some people can't bear to part with their stuff. I know a lot of women like that. I can't tell you how many women in my own family up in Chicago that are absolutely in love with their cars and houses. Men, I've found, are less attached to their stuff, except for a few oddball things that Matt mentioned in his other question. Good example, guns and ammo. I find sometimes that guys, including some friends of mine, are irrationally attached to a certain firearm or two. Or it could be they're irrationally attached to things like classic cars, Harleys, baseball cards, Pez dispensers, and hustler collections. All of which most women seem to have absolutely no interest at all. In fact, most prefer not to see that stuff and relegate it to the man cave or out in the garage. You guys know that drill. Oh, but don't worry, you can have a garage or man cave here in Latin America too. Only this time, you and your junk will not be relegated to the basement, because there are no basements here in Latin America. So in short, sell everything you possibly can and buy all the stuff you need when you get down here. If you want to go used and cheap, just check out OilX.com. Or you can buy new, and it'll cost you pretty much the same as in the States, sometimes a little bit more. Oh, and if by chance there's something you cannot get down here in Latin America, wherever you happen to live, you can go online and order it from any of the internet companies like eBay, Amazon, Alibaba, whatever. And since they offer free shipping anywhere in the States, if you have a Miami courier service like everyone here in Latin America does, gringos and expats anyway, all you have to do is pay the shipping costs, which is anywhere from $3 to maybe $8 a pound. And if the item you buy from Amazon or wherever is under $200, you'll pay no import duties. However, if it's over $200, there are ways to get around that too, but you have to listen to one of my earlier shows where I mention all that and how to work the angles. So, Matt, as you can see, it's not an easy question to answer quickly, but at least you have the highlights. Then Matt asks with question number two, where are some of the better areas to live in Nicaragua or Guatemala? Well, Matt, if you heard any of my past shows on Nicaragua, I say it's not a good idea to have a plan B there, at least not in the near future, for a lot of reasons. Enough said about that. Of course, having a plan B in Guatemala is a completely different story. My preference is always to live in the Altiplano. Those are considered the high plains, about 4,000 to 7,000 feet above sea level. So then where in Guatemala is the Altiplano located? Well, it's a strip that runs sort of right down the center of the country, north to south, from about the northern border of El Salvador to the southern border of Mexico. So then, why do I always prefer the Altiplano? Well, you've got 3 to 4 growing seasons. Plus, and this is huge, it's always spring-like weather, so you do not need air conditioning like you need everywhere else in Latin America unless you're in the highlands. And that'll save you a ton on your electric bill. Plus, the climate's so nice, it rarely drops below 55 degrees, and only at night. So you don't need any kind of central heating or space heaters. Though some people install fireplaces to be cozy at night. But you mostly see those in the homes of the wealthy and upper classes. It's about status, like having a jacuzzi or a pool, a live-in maid or a bodyguard. So, Matt, again, you've got a complicated question there that could take a long time to answer completely. All right, then we have Matt's third question. What's the best way of purchasing property legitimately? Answer, by having a good Latino lawyer. He's the only one that's going to be able to check out if it's registered properly in the municipality, if there are any back taxes or liens on it, etc., etc. Because, you know, here in Latin America, there's no such thing as title insurance. You know, that little policy you buy for a couple of $100 up in the States to make sure the property you're looking at to buy has a clear title. Well, you know, down here, since there is no such thing as title insurance, a lot of stupid gringos have been scammed. Simply because they went to a realtor or so-called realtor or bought straight from a seller and didn't go the extra step and hire a lawyer to suss out the paperwork. Another thing, you want your lawyer, not theirs, to be there when you sign the paperwork and transfer the title. So then, what will a lawyer set you back in a real estate transaction? Probably anywhere from $200 to $500, but it's well worth it. Though many gringos, especially newly arrived fresh green gringos and gringo cheapskates, often skip that step because in the States, it's not done that way. Green gringos and expats are often told by their Latino realtor, don't worry, we can do the deal in the real estate office or in our lawyer's office. And when you hear that word lawyer, you think, oh, well, it's all on the up and up. There's going to be a lawyer there. But remember, he's not your lawyer. You got to bring your own. Even so, many green gringos and expats fall for it. Why? Because up in the States, closings are often done in the realtor's office with the lawyer from the real estate firm. And it's always A-OK because of that title policy, guaranteeing the property's free and clear, and all the taxes and utility bills have been paid up to date. Bottom line, you must have your own lawyer working for you, checking the paperwork at the municipality, etc. Oh, and here's another big mistake many green gringos make. They use the same attorney as the so-called real estate broker or seller. In fact, sometimes gringos are so clueless, they make that suggestion to the realtor themselves. That's an easy way to get scammed, especially since most gringos and expats don't speak enough Spanish to be able to read the paperwork. I've been to quite a few real estate closings, and I've seen how it works. The lawyer or real estate broker will say to the gringo, just sign here, here, and here. And in truth, unless he's using his own lawyer or speaks Spanish fluently, he'll have to trust those people 100%. So don't get sucked in when the real estate broker says to you, hey, you don't need to bring in a lawyer, we can use mine. Save a little money that way. Then they might even say, don't worry about the cost because he's my lawyer. Don't worry. Famous last words. Don't worry. I think that's the most used English phrase in Costa Rica. Don't worry. And for gringos and expats, one of the most dangerous phrases too. My advice is, if you're doing a deal in Latin America and someone in the room utters that magic phrase, don't worry, after you've questioned something about the contract or the deal, I'd say it's time to do just the opposite. Start worrying. All right, Matt's next question was, Johnny, what kind of income can expats make and should they be expected to make their own businesses if they want to survive? Well, there's another question that'll take 10 or 20 minutes at least to answer. In short, you'll probably never make more than $500 a month working for someone else in Latin America. But if you have your own business and you're the boss, sky's the limit. However, I always recommend if you do have your own business, try for an internet business. Because with an internet business, you don't have to get involved with the laws of hiring and firing and maintaining employees, including labor contracts, vacations, overtime, health insurance. You get the idea. So in the end, that means one of the worst businesses to get into here in Latin America and probably throughout the world now is the restaurant business. I don't care how well you make your lasagna or pasta fazool. The restaurant business will suck the life out of you. Unless, of course, you're so good at it. You're such a brilliant restaurateur. Well, then by all means, go for it. But if you're not gifted at it and you're just doing it as a lark, forget about it. Matt's next question. Johnny, do you have contacts for lawyers and real estate agents? Yes and yes. And that, Matt, is one of the real advantages to coming down to my Expat Insider Seminar. You'll make exactly the right kind of connections. Next question. How hard is it to bring pets over or things that could be construed as illegal like guns and ammo? Short answer, bringing a pet over is not so difficult at all. However, I'd never recommend bringing guns and ammo down. Why? Because you definitely need a lawyer and there are a million hoops to jump through. And in many cases, if not most, you'll end up paying about 100% duty. So you might as well buy them down here. And you can, you know, but you will need to have residency to be able to buy that stuff legally. However, if you've become very good friends with your lawyer, well, they've been known to buy guns and ammo. For gringos and expats who aren't residents, but do have a Latin corporation, a Sociedad Anónima, which is another subject that will take way too long to explain. All right, then Matt's next question. He asks, do people who want to live on acreage need to still live in a gated community for a better living situation? You know, Matt, obviously the answer would be very specific to your personal needs. You know, that's a question tailor-made for a one-on-one phone consult. So, once again, Matt, and for all you listeners out there who are working on your plan B, glad to help, but with specifics, we're better off doing a one-on-one phone call. Of course, it's no problem, you know, if you send me one or two questions to answer on the show. But with a big list like that, you can see it's almost impossible. Speaking of kickstarting your plan B, well, all I can say is, with all the chaos and social and financial breakdown that's happening up by you right now, if you aren't at least somewhere along in your plan B that is contemplating to get the hell out of Dodge, either you aren't paying attention, you've been drinking the Kool-Aid, or Kool-Aid-flavored tequila, or you've been vaxxed too many times and Alzheimer's is kicking in. Now, I know for a lot of you guys and gals stuck up in the States, you feel kind of stalled out with your plan B with all that chaos going on. The good news is, in just about 2 months, my August 2020 Expat Insider Seminar launches. So, you've got 2 weeks till July 1st to get in on the early bird discounts. After July 1st, we're back to the regular price, which is $500 more. So do come on board. This could be your very last chance to supercharge your Plan B. Check it out. Just go to expatplanb.com. Oh, and I've got a couple of attendees signed on who are looking for roommates. You know, that's a way to save $750 off the single price. So right now I'm looking for a male and a female who'd like to room up, that is, share double occupancy with a roommate. Same sex, of course, and you know here in Latin America, they don't have 65 genders. Nor a long list of newly invented, non-offensive, crazy-ass pronouns either. Wow, what a novelty. All they've got here in Latin America is male, female, gay, lesbian, and trans. Wait a minute, Johnny. How unfair and insulting. Time to make some signs, get some Soros and Gates donations, round up some snowflakes and social justice warriors, and hit the streets. Wait a minute, Johnny. You racist. You didn't include BLM. Oops. Forgive me. Must have been that last batch of vaccines. Been a couple days and my head's still spinning and my arms doing the hurt. All right, speaking of gender bending, LGBTQ, WTF, SJWs, and all the other upstart mnemonics in the alphabet, comes this email from Steve. He says, Johnny, I'm enclosing an article here about gay marriage in Latin America. I would never have thought the gay marriages thing would have spread to the macho Latin American culture. How'd that happen and how's it working? Do you think it's the U.S. influence in Costa Rica that's causing this? Signed, Expat Insider Seminar alumnus, Steve. All right, Steve, thanks for that. Let's get into this article. It says, Costa Rica just became the first Central American country to legalize gay marriage. Then it says, with this, Costa Rica joins the following list of South American countries that have legalized same-sex marriage. Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, and Uruguay. You know, when you think about it, Steve's got a very good point there because Latin America is super macho. And it used to be when I first came down to Latin America some 30 years ago now. Gays did have it pretty rough. And as for lesbians, well, they were totally in the closet. You almost never saw a lesbian couple. But just like in the States, in larger cities here in Latin America, they've always had gay and lesbian bars and clubs. And certain well-known street corners where transvestites would strut their stuff. But back then, the typical out-of-the-closet gay scene was not happening. But now, even though Latin America is extremely macho, gays are pretty much accepted, with most of them out of the closet. And the only time it seems they ever get hassled is way out in the boonies, where they've got cowboys and ranchero bars on every corner. I understand in those places, gays still have a pretty hard time, which is why most of them end up moving to the big city. So there is a lot of irony and hypocrisy here. And of course, some lag time. For example, one 20-something gay guy I know, surprise, surprise, he's a hairdresser. He told me he's really close with his mother and his sisters, but his father hasn't spoken to him in 5 years, ever since he brought his first gay boyfriend to Sunday dinner. I know up in the States, people are much more liberal and accepting. I mean, really, have you ever heard of someone in your neighborhood giving his own kid the cold shoulder for 5 years just because he's gay? I don't think so. So anyway, this gay buddy of mine and other gays have told me it's really no problem being gay in a medium or large city in Latin America. No problem at all. Though he does admit, for what it's worth, he and his buddies and most of the people in the Latino gay crowd party way too much and do way too many drugs. Of course, we're talking about 20-somethings here, single guys. Though I guess that's probably true for all 20-something single guys worldwide, gay or straight. Now, as far as same-sex marriages, there is a 5 to 10 year lag time here in Latin America compared to the U.S. Consider that 5 years ago in 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled same-sex marriages were legal in all states. At that time, 5 years ago, there were 14 states that were holdouts. Now, when that happened 5 years ago, a friend of mine from Chicago hit on a niche that's been making him big money ever since. All of a sudden, gays everywhere wanted to get married, and not just in a courthouse by a justice of peace. They wanted a religious ceremony. So my buddy went online, paid his $200, and is now an ordained Unitarian minister specializing in same-sex marriages. And since most traditional religions won't allow same-sex marriages in the church, my buddy's become kind of the go-to pastor for such things. He tells me most don't want a courthouse marriage. They want a big religious service with all the pomp and ceremony. He said he charges a lot and the tips are tremendous. Why? Because, as he explained to me, gay couples, as a rule, especially when they're over 40, have very high levels of disposable income. Why? Because the vast majority of gay couples don't have kids and don't have the expenses associated with them. Food, clothes, private school, saving for college, etc. In fact, he said some couples have even flown him out of the country. All expenses paid to places like the Virgin Islands, Bahamas, even Hawaii. But I digress as usual. Where were we? Oh yeah. In Matt's email, he asked about working and doing business in Latin America. Of course, you've heard me say many times, having an online business is the way to go. Well, you know, if you search any of the websites that have job listings on them, you'll see the big employment sites are saying that blockchain and crypto technologies are the most in-demand skills for 2020 and beyond. And to get one of those jobs, it's not necessary at all to have a college degree. The fact is, the vast majority of crypto millionaires and billionaires never learned any of that stuff at university. All of them, and I mean all of them, learned that stuff on their own. And believe it or not, you can too. So then what's step one? How do you get started? Well, you know, our very own Captain Mango, who's been living down here in Guatemala for at least 6 or 7 years now, he's got a Bitcoin and cryptocurrency / blockchain hands-on training program. He's the guy to train you in all the basics to get you up and running. And then if you have an interest and want to pursue it further and actually have the desire to work online in that space. Remember, if you've got any kind of skills or aptitude in crypto or blockchain technology, you could get a job in a second. There's so many job openings in that space. So after you get the basics down, you get your advanced training on YouTube. YouTube really is the world's best university. By the way, right now I'm looking at 4 different job placement websites with thousands of online job openings in the crypto space. Listen to some of these jobs and the job titles they're offering. You know, some of these didn't even exist 2 or 3 years ago. Remember, all these are online jobs you can do from anywhere in the world. Let me read a few of these job postings. Smart Contract Tech pays 75 G's a year. By the way, I'm getting this right off the website called cryptocurrencyjobs.co. How about this one? KYC Officer, that's Know Your Customer Officer, pays 75 G's a year. Wow, looks like they've got 26 pages of job offers here. All right, now I'm moving over to another website called cryptojobslist.com. And right now, at this minute, they're listing 1,045 blockchain and crypto jobs, jobs available to you right now online, if you have the interest and aptitude for that stuff. Man, I can't believe how many crypto-related jobs they have here. None of them requiring a college degree at all. Oh, and some are full-time, and some say they only need someone on the project for a couple of weeks or months. Who knows? You might have a real flair for this stuff. And the only way to find out is to get started. But then again, to get started is so confusing. There are just hundreds of sites out there, lots of conflicting information. That's why if you want to get off to a good start, you can't do much better than hook up with Captain Mango. He'll get you straight with the basics, and if you have an aptitude for it, and you're up to making dough in that space, you'll find out in a hurry how good you are at it. That would be above and beyond investing in the single cryptocurrency coins, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and all the other so-called shitcoins. Of course, that's what everyone who doesn't know much about crypto really wants to do. They want to get started with buying, storing, and trading crypto coins like Bitcoin. But beyond the coins themselves, there are brand new jobs and careers to be had. But for now, just to get comfortably started in the crypto space, dealing with the coins themselves, I highly recommend Captain Mango's Crypto Beginners Course. If you're interested, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you his information pronto. Again, I don't make any money at all off of this. I just like to get interested parties together and on the right track. And really, when you think about it, crypto is the future. Paper and other kinds of funny money will be replaced by crypto and other digital currencies. I'm sure you see that coming. So then why hasn't it happened already? What's holding the rest of the world back? Believe it or not, it's the baby boomers. Turns out millennials, Gen Xers, and Yers are all in on crypto. They might not have a lot because they don't have a lot of dough, but they're all in. Whereas I just saw a statistic today that says only 6% of baby boomers have cryptocurrency, as opposed to 40% of Gen Xers, Yers, and millennials. Sure, they might only have $50 to $100 worth in a digital wallet somewhere. That's because most are not high earners, not yet. So as for you listeners, here's your chance to get on board with crypto. Oh, and by the way, if you want a list of those crypto websites for jobs, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Speaking of jobs and having a business, who would ever want to have a business in the U.S.? I'm talking about a brick-and-mortar business with employees. Man, if I had a brick-and-mortar business in the States, my hemorrhoids would have hemorrhoids. I mean, look, everyone's so damn sensitive and PC, every person you hire is a potential lawsuit. Seems like every other word out of a white person's mouth can be construed as racist, sexist, or culturally insensitive. In fact, a relative of mine who's a teacher at Chicago Public Schools says every teacher has to self-censure. They're walking on eggshells. In fact, he used this example. If a teacher said something like, "Hey, Johnny, stop picking your nose. That's another black mark against you." Well, them's racially charged words, bro. Matter of fact, bro is racially charged too. And of course, up in the States are plenty of lawyers ready and willing to take you down if you utter words that are considered racially charged or just insensitive. You know, I fully expect those midnight cable TV ads for ambulance chasers to morph into a brand new despicable breed of legal scumbag. Yep, I can hear the ads and see the highway billboards now. Dial 1-800-SUE-YOUR-BOSS. Look, all the time you've talked to your boss, he must have said something sexist or racist. Just call us, 1-800-SUE-YOUR-BOSS, and we'll take that mofo to court. Wait a minute. Did I say midnight ambulance chasers? Midnight. Now, there's a potentially explosive word that can really get you in trouble. And now, in that vein, a boots-on-the-ground story. Many years ago in Costa Rica, I was playing in a very cool band with two excellent black musicians. Oddly enough, both of their names were Tony, so they decided to give themselves appropriate stage names. One of them decided his name should be Shadow, and the other, you guessed it, Midnight. Well, I'll tell you, in today's world, I know, I'm preaching to the choir here. Just remember, here in Latin America, we've got none of those battles going on. We've got no thought or linguistic police. Better yet, people rarely sue each other here. On top of that, there's no legal contingency system like up in the States. For example, you can knock on a lawyer's door and say, I want you to sue Kentucky Fried. I fell down in the parking lot. Well, down here, you know what the lawyer's going to say? Fine, I want $200 down, $50 an hour. But wait a minute, you say to the lawyer, thinking with a gringo mindset. You say, let's sue him on a contingency basis. You can have 30 or 50% of whatever you collect. Well, that won't fly. It's not allowed. Lawyers can't work on contingencies, pay as you go. There's no split for the percentage of the spoils. So the lawyer gets his dough or your dough, whether he wins the case or not. You wouldn't believe how much that puts the brakes on lawsuits here. In other words, frivolous lawsuits are almost non-existent. Except, once again, where gringos have flooded in. Like, you guessed it, Costa Rica and parts of Mexico. Because Latin lawyers in gringified areas have discovered that gringos have pretty deep pockets, well, as compared to Latinos anyway. If a local sues you for $5 or $10 grand, even if it's a completely frivolous lawsuit, the gringo's lawyer, 9 out of 10 times, will advise him to settle out of court. You know, if a gringo's lawyer makes a deal for $1 grand, instead of dragging the thing through court, most gringos will happily take that deal. Remember, up in the States, a lawyer charges $200, $300, even $500 an hour. So just your lawyer's fee going to court could wipe out your savings. Whereas here in Latin America, if a lawyer makes even $50 an hour, he's in the top 1 or 2%. Oh, and another thing I like about lawyers here in Latin America, except again in gringified areas, lawyers here charge a flat fee. Whereas lawyers up in the States, it's by the hour, even 5-minute segments. And when you phone up the secretary, you're on the clock. That's not true with lawyers down here. South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.